T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So for a lot of parents out here, they depend on child support. It's part of their monthly budget. It's part of their monthly package. But these are interesting times. One parent may not be working. One parent may not be able to make that child support payment. It's just a different set of times. So the question came up, what happens when you've been ordered to pay child support, but now you've lost your job? Do you still have to pay it? That is just one of the questions that parents are dealing with. Well, in fact, the answer is yes. You do have to still pay the child support, but how you go about it or how you deal with that is a little more complicated than you might think. But we're going to help you figure all of that out. Candace Komar is a partner in the law firm. And how about this? I wrote it down and now I don't have it in front of me, but I do have it right here on my computer. Candace Komar is a partner with the law firm Pollack Begg. She specializes in this kind of issue. She joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Welcome to the show, Candace.
Thank you, Lynn. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm guessing a question like the one I just posed is one that you've been hearing for the last couple of days.
I have, but I have to be honest. Part of your question I didn't hear because the feed kind of canceled on me. But I assume that you're asking me the question of what do parents do if they have a child support obligation and they might be laid off or have lost their jobs because of this crisis.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what I would recommend is, like, this is happening to a lot of people, try to pay something if you can and try to pay it through the court. If you have a court order and you're paying through the PACY system, it's really great if you go and buy diapers or you buy formula or you hand somebody a bunch of toilet paper, but you're not going to get credit for that against your obligation. So if you can only put in a partial payment, it's not like a mortgage where they don't accept partial payments. Pay what you can into the system. And the other thing is, even though courts are closed, you can file for a modification online at the www.childsupport.state.pa.us. And you can record that you have a reduction in your earnings. I would recommend that people make a copy. If you can take a photograph of your computer screen that shows that you're filed, or any email receipt that you filed, you want to make sure you have a record of it, because who knows what's going to happen and when this is going to be recorded, because you're not going to get credit for any modification unless you've actually filed a request for so. So don't just not pay because you've lost your job. You need to let the court know right away.
Now, this is the kind of thing, too, depending on what your relationship is with the other party. It's not enough if you have a good relationship with them. It's not enough just to say to them, hey, listen, I got laid off from my job. I'm not going to be able to make the payment, but I'll catch up as soon as I can. And that person says, yeah, I understand. That's not enough, correct?
I would agree. Now, I'll qualify that. I'm assuming that these are all paid through the state. So these are under what's called the PA PACES orders is what we call them. And so, yeah, I mean, parties can be lenient about it, but the state won't be. And if you have an order that's not wage attached, once you start working again somewhere, the computer automatically is going to find you and attach your wages for 1.5 times what you owe. you know, to catch up, whether you reach an agreement with your spouse or not. And it's going to involve you having to take a day off work, to go into court, you know, and get this all straightened out. So I think it's great to communicate with a spouse or former partner or whoever you owe the child support to. I think it's good to tell them what your circumstances are. You still need to make sure that you have taken care of things through the court. And if there is a subsequent enforcement hearing, don't not show up. Or, you know, and if you do show up, make sure you have a record, of, like the email, the letter, something that shows that you were laid off and your job stopped. Don't just say, hey, we had this corona crisis. It has to be a little bit more specific than that, because not everybody is losing their job or stopping work at the same time.
So don't just use that as an excuse. You need the validation of it.
Correct. Your specific circumstances should be validated and proof of what they are.
Now, the other thing, Candace, that seems to me that makes this a little more challenging of a time is that courts are closed.
Well, they are, but you can file online through the portal that I just indicated. So the support office has a handful of skeleton crew that are dealing with the things that are filed online. You're not going to get to walk in like you can at the city-county building and file a complaint or file your request for modification. They don't have the night court, but they do have access online. And the same for divorce complaints. You can file those online through the county website.
Okay. All right. So bottom line is a court order is a court order. It doesn't matter what's going on. You still have to adhere to the court order. And if you can't, I guess it's kind of like a creditor. You know, when you owe somebody money, you still have to pay the money. And if you can't pay the money, you have to reach out to them.
Correct. And here's the thing. If you, you know, there's a multi-layer thing of if a person isn't paying their child support. First of all, you know, is there an obligation? How much is owed? And did the person have the ability to pay and simply refuse to do so? So this is not an opportunity for people who don't want to pay child support to look for an excuse. You know, you really have to be specific to your circumstances. Lots of people are working from home right now, and they're getting their full paycheck. Some people are getting a partial pay. So even, you know, it just depends on your circumstances. You can't just say, hey, you know, I lost my job or I'm not working at full speed and use that as an excuse not to pay your child support.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Now let's, you know what? I got some, well, we can start the conversation, but we'll have to take a break in the middle of it. Now, what about things like, custody arrangements? So I know we had, you know, there are all kinds of joint custody arrangements. How does the virus affect those? Do I have to adhere to my existing custody arrangement?
Yes, you do. In fact, there was an order that came down just yesterday from Judge Kimberly Clark, who's head of our Allegheny County Courts. And the order was very specific. You know, this is after the governor has issued his shelter-in-place order, that any custody arrangement, an order that was in effect before the crisis happened, still is in effect. And under the emergency travel, you're allowed to travel for custody exchanges. So it begs a bigger question, doesn't it? You know, parents really need to figure out, and this is a time where you got to let your angst against the other person aside. They need to figure out what's best for their child. What's generally best for a child is to have regular and continuing contact with both parents. Maybe you have a certain circumstance. Maybe your child is particularly anxious. I don't know what their schedule is. Maybe they need to travel a little bit on the turnpike or whatever to see the other parent. Do what's best for the kid under these circumstances and don't start counting the overnights. It means, you know, we're in a different time now. And you're going to get time. Hopefully that parent will give you makeup time. What this order and our shelter in place does not provide is it does not provide for self-help, where parents just refuse to answer the door or say, I'm not going to send my child to the other parent because I don't think that they wash their hands enough and they're not using Lysol on their kitchen countertops. That is not an excuse. You will be found in contempt.
Hold that thought for just a sec. We are back here. Last half hour of Lunchtime with Lynn. So we've been talking about, you know, there's so many different aspects, angles to this whole pandemic. situation. And once you find yourself either laid off or in a situation, especially when it deals with your kids, you have to pivot. I'm going to use the word pivot. And we've had Candace Komar on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Candace is a partner with the law firm of Pollock and Begg. And trying to juggle kids is a whole different ballgame. And we've been dealing with issues like child support, joint visitation, joint custody. And Candace, and this might be, and if it's unfair, I'm going to apologize right now for it. I'll just say that right now. But, you know, a lot of people now, the kids are home all the time. And so is it possible to, I don't want to say renegotiate your arrangement, but say, for example, you have a split week and your kids spend Monday, Tuesday with one parent, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with the other, and it rotates week to week. But now the kids are home. One parent may be, say, a better educator than the other. One parent may be home. The other parent isn't. But now the kids have to be homeschooled. Those are the kind of issues that are coming up. Can you renegotiate those on your own, or do you have to go back to court for that?
No, absolutely. These are the exact things that people need to put their differences aside and, again, do what's best for the kids. If you have one parent that's working all the time and the other parent can be home, first of all, you have who's going to come in and watch the child in the shelter-in-place days, who knows? Mm-hmm. And is that your 75-year-old mother-in-law? Like, that's probably not going to work anymore. So you mm-hmm. have to be careful about things like that. But, you know, why don't we do what's best for the child? So maybe a temporary modification. You don't need to go to court. You can just reach an agreement between the two parents. The parents are the best people to decide what happens with their children. And in an ideal world, that's what happens, is they resort to using a judge or a custody conference officer when they can't agree. These are the times when you have to try to agree and just say on a temporary basis, we're going to do a modification and this is what it's going to look like. Similarly, if you have a parent that's not able to exercise custody, maybe they're in the health field and they're working long hours or extra hours, try to let the child stay in touch with that parent. Maybe that parent travels and you have a long distance commuting kind of relationship. What about FaceTime? Make sure that you're regularly connecting in with that parent. You know, again, it's all about maintaining the contact, as much continuity as possible. You want to keep the child's schedule as consistent as you can, because again, children are in an upheaval. And so the more stability that they experience, the better. But let's face it, things are changing for all of us every 12 hours or so, aren't they?
They are indeed. And it seems to me that this is a time, and I'm going to say this, but I recognize that it's often easier said than done. But this is a time when our parents need to really separate whatever emotional baggage we may have toward that other parent. We need to separate that, because these are already difficult times. These are already stressful times. We need to be able to separate that from the best interest of the child.
I couldn't agree more. And don't forget, kids are going to model how they react to crises based on how they see their parents react. You know, we all remember, you know, what happened, where we were on 9/11, you know, where we were, you know, our parents would say what happened when John F. Kennedy was shot. So remember, they're absorbing and seeing how you react. And I've been getting lots of emails about leadership in this time of crisis. And it's all about how you conduct yourself. It's okay to be scared and uncertain and acknowledge your own feelings and what you're thinking, but how you conduct yourself is really important. And these kids are going to be taking their cues from their parents.
So the scenarios that I have described for you, those are the ones that people have reached out to me, whether it's through social media or on air. Are those pretty much the most common scenarios that have played out within your firm?
Where one person is working and the other isn't?
Mm-hmm. Or the child support issues?
Well, I've had issues where I have one parent that lives in another state. Mm. And unfortunately, that state is New York.
Wow.
So the other parent is understandably concerned about having their child travel to New York for a weekend of custody. And this is one of those long distance connections where the parent doesn't get to see the children that often. The parent in New York is saying, hey, the kids don't have the school restriction, so why can't they do homeschool from where I am? So that's an interesting issue. And we do have the courts open for emergency motions. Will the judge hear that kind of motion? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. This is not certainly not a time to take advantage of the other parent's circumstances and use it as an excuse to do a grab or a change of custody. I've seen some parents be concerned about the fact that the person who has custody of the children at this time is more exposed to the virus than somebody else by virtue of their employment. Maybe they're a bus driver. Maybe they are in food service and they're doing deliveries. Maybe they are in the medical field. That may be some argument, but again, what we have been telegraphed very clearly from the judge is people are to follow the court order. There's always circumstances where there's an extreme emergency and the concern, maybe the child is immunocompromised and you don't want them having a higher risk of the virus, but everybody's expected to be washing their hands, taking the appropriate precautions by using your disinfectant wipes, you know, doing the arms distance, the social distancing and sheltering in place. And everyone is expected to be at their highest and best behavior.
And, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned the New York case. And now in New York, they're suggesting if you've been in New York and you come out of New York, you should go into a 14-day isolation if you've been in New York. And so then that adds another level to what should be a simple process.
City. And in my particular case, the client is in upstate New York. Mm. But, you know, people do tend to grab onto whatever soundbite works, right, if you're trying to make an argument. So, but again, there's no question New York has become the epicenter, at least in this country, of this outbreak, as I've seen on the news.
Indeed. Candace, thank you so much. Candace Comar, a partner with the law firm Pollack Begg. I'm guessing you're busy this time of year, but we appreciate you taking the time with us this afternoon. I think you have answered a lot of questions. I've been emailing with people online, and I can tell you they are very appreciative of your insight this afternoon. We appreciate you very much.
I'm happy to help, Lynn. Stay safe. Thank you.
All right, you too. All righty, have a good afternoon. It's, you know, those are the kind of things that people deal with, and you don't even think there's so many implications to the times that we're in. And unless you've been confronted by them, you don't even think about them. And there's so many implications to it. So bottom line is you got to figure it out.